God, we come once more again into your wonderful presence. Yes, we thank you, Master,
thank you,
for your grace,
yes,
and for your goodness.
Yes.
Giving us another day's journey. Giving us air to breathe,
yes,
food to eat,
glorious,
and out of the rain and out of the elements.
Yes.
So, Lord, we're already ahead of most of the world,
yes,
if we'll just turn around and thank you,
thank you,
because you didn't have to do it.
That's right.
There are some people living outside under a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that haven't eaten days.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, here we come complaining,
yeah,
when you already met all our needs.
All I need.
So we thank you, Master.
Thank you.
Open up our understanding.
Yeah.
Open up our minds to
thank
see
you.
Things from your perspective,
yes, Lord,
instead of our earthly bound way of looking at things.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, have your way.
Have
your way. Let us learn to look to your Son,
Lord,
to all that's in the truth,
yeah,
and nothing else.
Thank you.
Have your way.
Have your
and
way.
We will continue to give you all the praise and the glory.
Lord,
in Jesus' wonderful, magnificent name we pray.
Lord, yes.
And the saints of God that are in agreement with this prayer, say amen.
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 Amen. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, can I get you to stand to your feet this morning? Turn, if you will, to Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Mm.
And we're going to just look at, we're going to read verse 15, 16, and 17.
Right.
And then we're going to look at all the verses in verse 13 through 17 in the message this morning.
Mm.
And as we go through the message, as you find those passages, ask yourself, what is your response to Jesus?
Mm.
What is your response to Jesus?
Mm.
Verse 15 of the 16th chapter of Matthew says, and he said to them, who do you say I am?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
Drop down to verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.
Yeah.
You may be seated.
Yeah.
Title this morning's message is your response to Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Every day God brings down situations. He brings a spokesman. He brings the scripture. And he brings the spirit to reveal what's going on inside of you.
Yeah.
In the book of Genesis, he came down in the life of Adam and Eve every day and called their name out, where are you? And one day he came down, they was hiding.
Mm. Yeah.
And God said, I still visit my created creatures every day to ask what's going on between them and me. If you don't realize God visits you every day, just look at the situations. He's speaking through the situations.
Yes, he is.
If you don't believe God is visiting you every day, look at the spokesman that he sent in your life. If you don't believe God is visiting you every day, look at the scripture and what it says about that. If you don't believe God is visiting you every day, look at how the Holy Spirit, notice those four S's? God is always looking and speaking through you those four S's. Situations, a spokesman, scripture, and the spirit. What is the principle you need to learn? The principle is God the Father must be the only one to show the importance of Christ.
Yeah.
We're going to see that in the text today. So if you have your Bible, open it to that 16th chapter of Matthew, beginning at verse 13.
Yeah.
Those that have your phones, turn to that scripture in your Bible.
Mm.
Not to some game, okay?
Mm.
Believe it or not, there are people that have sat in the sanctuary, been playing games while the pastor's preaching, claiming they're looking at scripture. Verse 13 says, now when the Spirit came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, I'm sorry, I've said Spirit, Jesus, it's the same thing. But when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking the disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is?
Yeah.
See, God's going to ask everybody, and everybody going to come up with the wrong answer. So what did they say in verse 14? They say that some say you are John the Baptist.
Yeah.
Others, Elijah,
yeah,
but still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.
Yeah.
And then God's going to turn around and say, but, verse 15, but who do you say I am?
Yeah.
If you sit in the sanctuary today, who do you really say Jesus is? Who is he to you?
Yeah.
Not who he is to everybody else, because everybody else going to get it wrong.
Yeah.
Who do you say he is? If you miss the point of him being the Savior of the world, you done went past the truth.
Come on.
Matthew the 15th chapter, you'll see what Jesus said, these things proceed out of your mouth and they come from your heart. So whatever you're saying in your mouth, it comes from your heart. You can deny it, but either you're right or the Bible is wrong.
Oh, Lord.
And guess who's wrong? It ain't the Bible. So Jesus asked Simon Peter, and you know what Simon Peter said? Verse 16. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name, okay? Some people say Jesus Christ. That's not his last name. That's his title and that's his position. Why? He's the Son of the living God. Follow me, if you will, to verse 17. Jesus responded to Simon Peter and told him something even he didn't recognize. What did Peter did not recognize? That he was now blessed because he got a revelation of who Jesus Christ is.
Yeah.
He says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. That means he's from the lineage of Jonah. He's from the family of Jonah. He says, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar-Jonah means his descendants, his family lineage. Why? Because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You didn't get this understanding from you, Simon Peter, from your earthly and fleshly way of thinking. Guess where it came from? Verse 17, underline it in your Bible. But my Father who is in heaven. Everybody on the planet that understands Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of their sin realized it came from the Father.
Yes.
Now either that's true or it's a lie. If you got saved because you got God's revelation about who Jesus Christ is. It didn't come from you. God opened up your thinking to believe the truth.
Amen.
1 John, St. John chapter 14 and verse 17 says Jesus was full of grace and truth. And if you believe that, you'll believe what God has endorsed about his son.
Amen.
You didn't get that from you. You got it from him. Look what it says. But my Father is, who is where?
In heaven.
In where?
In heaven.
God the Father has endorsed to give you understanding to know the truth. Do you know, I believe God said when he promised to answer your request, it starts with your thinking. Because if you're thinking wrong, you're going to walk away with a what?
Wrong.
A misunderstanding. And most of the people think that God didn't answer when he was trying to give you an understanding and you didn't want to believe the truth. I don't believe Jesus is all that's necessary. The Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but what? By him. So now you got to either believe what God has said or you're going to believe in a lie, and that's a misunderstanding. Are we helping you today? Turn, if you will, to keep your program there in Matthew, the 16th chapter. And follow me, if you will, to St. John, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 44. I want you to see this revelation about who Jesus Christ is has a lot to do with your reaction.
Come on.
He says in verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father has sent him, sent me, draws him. Did y'all see that?
Come on. Yeah.
You cannot understand who Jesus Christ is unless God the Father is involved with that mindset.
Yeah.
God the Father is involved with that thinking. And you know what he promised? And I will raise him up in the last day. That's a resurrection day. Are you ready for that resurrection day?
Oh,
brothers and sisters, it can happen at any time. If Jesus come in the clouds, the rapture can call all his believers out of the planet. And he's going to get those that died first and then those that are alive. Which group are you going to be in? I hope you be in one of them. Because that next group is going to be those that are going to get judged at the great white throne. Verse 45. And it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Now don't miss that. God say, I'm doing the personal teaching, not Pastor White. The Holy Spirit is giving you this illumination. The Holy Spirit is helping you grasp what you couldn't get naturally. Because it's what? Supernatural. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father, notice what Jesus said? They're going to come to me. They're going to come to Jesus. Anybody that don't think Jesus Christ is important and don't think Jesus Christ is the only way to get to God the Father is believing a lie. How many religious folk out there think there's another way? Because God didn't die for religion. What did he die for?
Relationship.
A relationship. And you show God by your reaction and with the news you receive if you believe him. One shop owner asked another, he says, so have you had any reactions yet to your ad that you're looking for a night watchman? And the man said, yeah, we sure did. He said, how did you know that your ad was working? Because we got robbed last night. Instant proof. See, when you react, you already respond for what you heard. If you hear a lie, you're going to respond to a lie. If you hear the truth, you're going to respond to the truth. Yes. It's up to you and what's going on inside of you or what you believe. Follow me with another text in John, the 6th chapter, verse 65. St. John chapter 6, verse 65.
Right.
And he was saying, for this reason, I have said to you that no one can come to me, Jesus speaking, unless it has been granted to him from the Father.
Yeah.
Are y'all hearing this today? If you sitting in the sanctuary today, if you're on phone line, if you're on Facebook or YouTube, your understanding started with God the Father helping you see things from his perspective. See, most people, when you mention Jesus Christ, it don't make no sense. Somebody died on a cross? Do you know who helped you understand that? God the Father. God the Father is the one that drew you to his son. See what that verse says?
Yes.
Look at another passage. Jeremiah 31 and 3. I want to check out what's your response. Jeremiah 31 and 3. The Lord appeared to him from afar saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love.
Yeah.
Therefore, I draw you with loving kindness. It's because God's love for you is drawing you to the truth. Jesus Christ is God's unadulterated truth. It's up to you. Do you simply believe it? It's like this response. A response. To see her reaction, a man called a black woman the N-word. And in the first day, he couldn't see anything. In the second day, he couldn't see anything. In the third day, he began to see a little bit out of his right eye. Now, I'm not endorsing violence, okay? What I'm trying to point out is everything that happens is going to cause you to have a response. And when you hear the word of God, when you hear what God said about his son, what should you do? Respond by believing.
Yes.
Respond by obeying. Yesterday, we had a baptism. And I probably surprised Deacon Brown, well, he knew I was because I asked him in advance, Sister Holiday and her son, that the pastor got baptized. Why did I get baptized? Because the Lord prompted my heart to do so, and it's always good to obey the Lord. Was I lost? No. I did it for a rededication so that the ministry can get to the next level. And when God prompts your heart to do something, what's a good thing to do?
Do it.
Don't try to figure it out. Now, if it's not wrong, if it's not the word of God, and if it's not against the law, obey the Lord. It's simply just do what God says. I love what Charles Stanley said. Obey God and leave all the consequences to him. Suppose I said, no, Lord, I'm already been baptized. That's humiliating. The pastor getting baptized again. It don't make no sense. Then the blessing he had behind the obedience would never take place. Let's look what else it says. Verse 18 of Matthew, the 16th chapter. I also say to you, and this is what Jesus said to Peter, Peter, upon this, I will build my church. Now, the Catholic Church has got it wrong because they built it upon the faith of Peter. That's where the Pope come from. God said they done missed it. It ain't based on no man at all. It's based on the profession that Peter had in Christ. Did I miss that? Did you miss that? And the same salvation you have, it has been based upon your faith in who Christ is. That's why you go into heaven. Not because of what you have done and your ability. It's based on what God say he has done.
Yeah.
What did he do? He sent his only begotten sinless son to die for you on your behalf. And all you have to do is what?
Believe.
Amen. You don't have to do no work. All the other religions of the world say you got to do something to earn the right of that God. And God said, you can't earn it because you're so sinful, so far removed. I have to do it for you. He says, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. King James, prevail against it. If you are a Christian and you losing against hell, guess what? You're on the wrong team. Because God say, people that are born again are winners. People are born again, have my divine nature, and Satan can't quench it. And the proof is, if Jesus told me to do something, what's a good thing for me to do?
Do it.
Huh? If Jesus say love, what should I do?
Love.
If Jesus say forgive, what should I do?
Forgive.
I'm finna hit it. If Jesus say read my Bible, what should I do?
Read.
Oh, we got a lot of sinners already in the sanctuary. Because you won't be obedient. It starts with simply obeying God. And the illumination of your mind and your thinking going to change. You know what? I look over the years on how I used to think and how I used to believe and how I used to treat my wife and my family. I was just messed up. Until the word of God grabbed a hold to my thinking. Now, I hadn't arrived perfectly yet, but I'm so glad I don't think the way I used to think.
That's right, Pastor.
Because I was totally messed up. And Sister White, don't say amen. Because the goodness of God helped me see from his perspective, from his level of righteousness, from his holy way of doing things. Look what it says right there. He says, and the gates of hell will not what? Overpower it. When you're doing things under the power of God and under the power of Christ Jesus, you've got heaven backing you. This building, this ministry, this everything is strictly under the hands of the Lord. And can't nothing stop it because God is behind it. And you know what? I would hate to get on a losing team. There are some churches God himself is fighting against. Why? Because they're on the losing team. When you're not listening to the head of the church, who's the head of the church?
Christ
Jesus. Then you're on the wrong team. Verse 19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you got God's support? The Bible says in Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord go what?
To and fro. Yeah.
He's looking. He goes all over the earth looking for somebody he can strongly support himself through. Can he count on you?
Come on.
And let me say this. Yesterday, London got baptized. And let me say to all the young people, God wants to use you from a young age. He don't want to wait till you get old and start using you because you'll mess up and lose a lot of your rewards. As soon as you understand about the simplicity of the gospel, just simply believe it and keep trusting God on everything that he asks you to do.
Yeah.
Yes, you might make some few mistakes. Yes, you might not be where you should be, but at least you got it started. Why? Because the gates of hell cannot stop you. Why? Because you have his authority.
Yes.
I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Do you have heaven backing you?
Yes.
Let me ask an important question. What is your response? Are you seeing things Christ's way? Because if you're seeing things the way the Father sees them, you're going to be seeing things the way Christ would see them. And you're going to be showing God daily, hourly, and minute by minute. Can I give you a principle?
No.
You might want to write this principle down. God the Father must give you the important things about Christ for you to have that understanding. You don't get it on your own. See what we see in the text? Where did this revelation come from? It came from God the Father. Simon Peter didn't get this idea on his own. And I guarantee you everything associated with how Christ would have it done, it didn't come from you. Look what else it says. Whatever you bind on earth. What does that mean? Whatever you bind on earth. And he says, and whatever you
will be bound in heaven.
It will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be what?
Loose in heaven.
Are you binding up the sin and the things that is tearing up this world? And are you loosening the grace and the love of God? You make that decision every day. Everything you do is either going to be reflecting Christ or it's going to be denying him. And can I give you another? Let me give you three questions you might want to ask yourself. First of all, what are you doing daily to give God glory? Because if you're not giving God glory, you are wasting God's resources through you. You can be a born-again believer and not be giving God glory. So you got to show God every day you know what he has been and what he has done for you. Show him every day through your action, through your response, that he has set you free from the bondage of sin. You can tell that you still have the grip of sin coursing through your thinking when you want to retaliate. I still have to wrestle with that myself. I tell you about my experiences on the freeway, right? God works, ministers wonders and show me my character as soon as somebody pulls in front of me on the freeway. I get to see 100% what Dennis White is like.
No,
especially when he's about to almost clip my bumper.
No, Pastor, no.
I show up every time. And believe me, I have to confess it. I don't want to be loving that car that almost hit me.
No, Pastor, no.
But God is at work. Teaching me to be patient. Teaching me to be forgiving. And the question is, how do you respond? Because you know you're going to respond, right? Everything in life has been designed by God to show you what your response is like. And you know a lot of us show the wrong response. Just before a final exam in a college finance class, a less than stellar student approached the teacher and said, "Can you tell me what grade I would need to get on? What grade I would need to get on this exam to pass this course?" And the teacher says, "Well, that would be bad news because the exam only gives out 100 points." So he says, "What would I need?" He said, "You need 113 points just to get a D." Then he thought about it. "Well, how many points would I need to get a C?" Hello? Sometimes we're just not thinking. And God has to touch our mind to start thinking the way he would do it. Because sin got us bound. See, your response, you might want to write this point down, reveals what you know and what you understand. Every time you respond, whatever it is, you're telling God what you know and what you understand. What you say through your mouth and what you do through your hands and through your feet. That's convicted, isn't it?
Amen.
Follow me, if you will, to the last verse, verse 20. Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he is the Christ. You ever tell your kid not to tell somebody something? And they can't wait to get out of the house to tell everybody? My grandson, don't tell him no secret. Because he will let everybody know. Grandpa told me not to tell you this, but you let it out. So now I can tell Anaya and Roman, but don't tell Jeremiah. Not if you don't want everybody to know. And that's what happened in this case. The Lord told the disciples not to tell nobody, but that fallen, sinful nation couldn't wait when they got out of there to what? Start talking about it. He knew it. What I call reverse psychology. You don't want somebody to talk about something, just tell them the opposite. So when you leave the sanctuary today, don't tell nobody about the goodness of the Lord. See, when God commanded us to obey his son, that truth has to come from us. Now, let me just do a review. Let me do a mini review to help us in our daily walk with the Lord. Five things we need to consider and remember all the time.
Amen.
First of all, God is good.
Amen.
You got to remember, whatever you're going through, how bad things get or how good things get, God is good. Psalms 103 verse 19 says, God has established his thrones in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. Second, you need to let it sink in your spirit. God is good. Psalms 107 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he's good and his mercy endureth forever. And verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Is God good?
Amen.
I say, is God good?
Amen.
Your actions will show it. Third, do you know God loves you? See, if you don't settle that issue when things get rough, you're going to doubt if he loves you. God say, I love you with an everlasting love. Romans 5 and 8. God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What's the fourth thing we need to sink in our spirit? God desires an intimate relationship with you. Every day, God knocks on your soul and says, what's going on between you and me? Are you really believing me? Are you trusting me? Matthew 11, chapter, verse 28 says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Jesus said, I'll give you rest. What's the fifth thing that we need to sink into our spirits? And I think it's the most important one of all. God believes in you and he's pursuing you. God believes in you and he's pursuing you. Psalms 56 and 9 and Romans 8:31 say, if God is for us, who can be against us? So when you remember those five things every day, let it sink in. This is what I know. This is what I remember. That whatever it is I'm going through, God's got my back. So let me close with a little bit of my humor and then we can open the doors of the church. Believe in what you receive. See, and when you receive Christ, you believe the truth. If you don't believe Christ, you're not believing the truth, but you believe in a lie. A pastor was witnessing to a young man. They were sitting at the pastor's kitchen table. And the young man asked, what's that in the jar on the table? And the pastor says, that's horseradish. And so the pastor asks him, well, have you ever tasted any horseradish? And so the young man says, no. So the pastor gave him a great big tablespoon of the horseradish. So after the young man ate it, and he was grasping for his breath and get some air, he finally could speak. And you know what he said? I have met a lot of preachers and pastors in a long time to talk about hell, but you're the first one and gave out a sample. If you don't trust Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, one day it's going to get bad. Because God's wrath is going to be poured out against all unrighteousness. And if you haven't accepted the provision that he has put in place through the only sinless human that ever existed, that's Christ Jesus. We want to give you that invitation right now.
Yeah.
The doors of the church are open.